Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I thought today would give us an opportunity to clear up all the confusion that there is about fats, the good fats and the bad fats. And
You're cut out.
Okay. Already? Yeah. How much did I cut out?
The last word was confusion.
And then it just dropped?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're gonna I'm gonna recall, and I'm gonna put the call through to the same line. Okay.
Okay. So should I hang up?
Yeah, you'll hang up, and I'll recall.
Okay. All right.
Okay, Alan, we cut out, so we had a drop. So let me rewind. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today I thought we'd take a look at fats. There's a lot of confusion about fats, good fats, bad fats, what constitutes healthy fat, what are some of the controversies about fats, polyunsaturated, monounsaturated, and saturated, what's essential, what about EPA versus DHA, and what about GLA. You can play alphabet soup all day long with fats and omega-3s, omega-6s. There's lots of confusion. So today we're going to ask for some help and clarification from a real expert in the field of nutrition. She's Diana Noland, and she has earned a master's in public health. She's a registered dietitian. She's a certified clinical nutritionist. And she's also the recipient of a Dietitians for Integrative and Functional Medicine Lifetime Achievement Award, which is pretty cool. She is truly a pioneer of integrative and functional medical nutrition therapy, and in particular, a very forward-looking, originally a registered dietitian in a field that perhaps had a little bit of resistance to the use of the application of therapeutic nutrition vis-a-vis vitamins and so on. She's really taken the lead in this field. She also is on the adjunct faculty at the University of Kansas Medical Center. Why is that significant? Because she works with one of my really good colleagues, Dr. Jeannie Drisco, who's been a frequent guest here on Intelligent Medicine and a pioneer in integrative medicine, also someone who really specializes in research on intravenous vitamin C. But today we're going to focus on fats. So welcome to Intelligent Medicine, Diana. It's a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
So so let's start out with some basic definitions. You know, we've got polyunsaturated fats and we've got saturated fats. And in between, we seem to have an intermediate form of monounsaturated fats. So maybe provide some of our listeners, and they're pretty sophisticated, but sometimes we need a little bit of a science review. What's going on with those?
Well, I was a chemistry major before I became a dietitian, and so I go back to the chemistry of fats, and one of the characteristic of fat is that it will not mix with water. So if we start with that and just remind ourselves how thankful we are we have fats in our body, because those fats make the boundaries that keep all of our body organized. And whatever fat we eat in our diet, or if we're taking supplements, those fats are going to become our body cell membranes and all of the fat tissues in our body. And so it's very important that as we talk about these different types of fats, that we are able to see that it's so important that you have the balance between the ones that are nutritional and that you try to avoid the ones that are damaged. And so that's going to be one of the categories. Is Dr. Hoffman mentioned saturated all the way to essential fatty acids. I know you had a great podcast on the omega-3s last week, I think.
Indeed, and yeah.
So what we're talking about is on saturated fats, it's a little bit more than just saturated. There are actually three different groups of saturated fats, and I think that's where some of the confusion came, is nutritional science was putting out there information, just grouping all of those three saturated fats together, acting like they all did the same thing, and they don't. The first group in the saturated that is so necessary for life is the short-chain fatty acids. And butter is a good example of that, or ghee, only if it's really from grass-fed cattle. And so I'm sure you've talked about that type of subject before with Dr. Hoffman. But
I mean, under the heading of you, not just you are what you eat, but you are what you eat eats, and the feed
yes.
of our cattle, it really has an impact on the composition of their dairy products and also the meat.
So these short-chain fatty acids are so critical, and for a human to get them in their body, there's a couple of sources. One is that you eat the butter fat from different milk-producing animals, or if you're breastfeeding your child as a mother, you would be producing a lot of these short-chain fatty acids in that mother's milk. And then also our beautiful microbiome in the gut, all throughout the digestive system, wherever it's supposed to be, will eat fiber and make some beautiful short-chain fatty acids. So that means that we really need to have healthy guts that have a good amount, about 3 pounds of microbiota in there, because if we have those, they're making some short-chain fatty acids for us.
And some of them go by the name of butyrate or butyric acid. That's one.
Yes.
And, you know, what are some of the others?
Propionate.
Okay.
Yeah, and these are what probably, if you've seen Dr. Hoffman and had him do a stool test, he might be talking about those, because they are so important to heal the colon cells, especially the colonocytes. Those cells in the colon are very fast turnover, and they need some fresh short-chain fatty acids to heal. In fact, we clinically can take butyrate, especially, it's the most important one that we know of, and we can actually insert it as a under a doctor's supervision and heal the gut, or we can have someone take capsules of it. But the best is that it's in your diet, you've been breastfed, and that you have a healthy gut that's making your short-chain fatty acids. So you can see that is a saturated fat. So the mantra that was given to the whole world that saturated fats were bad really took away the source of those beautiful fatty acids that we need to heal our guts, and also they're anti-inflammatory.
And the source is that
we all know inflammation, isn't that great?
And the source is that arch villain, butter or ghee. You know, which has been stigmatized, and you know, now we unfortunately, and you're aware of this, is that some of the professional organizations, American Heart Association among them, still stigmatize butter, and they say, well, get away from butter and
That's
make
right.
sure that you consume lots of polyunsaturated oils.
Margarine.
Right. We'll get into it. Yeah. So, okay.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, no, so.
Well, so there's one group, and that's the smallest fatty acid in the saturated group. Very important. And then also, one more comment that is about breast milk, that if you are breastfeeding, you will get that beautiful short-chain fatty acid for the development of the baby's gut. But what if you're giving a formula? They don't really put short-chain fatty acids in baby formulas commercially. So a lot of moms have gone actually to making their own home formula. I do recommend that you get professional advice on that, somebody that understands these fats. I have had some cases where children come in and the mom had a not pretty good home formula, but it was missing some of these critical oils, and the baby ended up with a lot of problems. So anyway, short-chain fatty acids is the smallest molecule of saturated. The next group is what is called MCT, or medium chain triglycerides.
Right. And Diana, actually, I have a big bottle of MCT oil sitting on my counter, because I'm experimenting with using MCT oil as a fuel for training. You know, I do a lot of running, biking, and swimming, and I'm about to do a triathlon. And this is actually in vogue as a good source of calories as an alternative to sugar and Gatorade and, you know, all that kind of high-calorie junk that a lot of athletes consume. So,
that's right.
Yep.
So these MCT oils are the middle group of natural saturated, very good. And they have become out there in awareness in the public and in the scientific journals as being helpful for neurological problems. And Parkinson's, there was a doctor that actually started giving MCT oil, and it's also in coconut oil, so you might see both terms used. And so they were giving it, and they saw beautiful improvement in Parkinson's. And the way I first was introduced to MCT oil was in the hospital, when I worked in the hospitals with liver disease. Because with liver disease, you know, liver is supposed to process your fats. It helps put out bile and helps digest the fats before they can get in the blood. And so MCT oil is very interesting because it does not require bile to be absorbed. And so it saves some of the work that the liver has to do. And under a diseased liver, that would be a very good oil for energy and calories to get. And for athletes, they're using it because it will go to energy production more than going to storage.
And so you become a lean, mean, fat-burning machine is the term, I think.
Exactly, exactly.
Yep.
And it's also helping the brain, because the brain really does well with medium-chain triglycerides. And it, just to make a point, is yes, the brain does well, but it needs the balance of all of the oils. So as we take a microscopic look at the saturated, we don't want to forget that they fit into the whole puzzle of all of the good balance of the oils. And so we come to the third group. The third group is not really desirable. And they are made up of very long chain saturated fatty acids, or even, you know, different variations on the long chain. But any of those long chains start to stiffen the membranes in the body and really start to take away from health. And guess where they come from? Basically, they're damaged oils that man has processed. So when we talk about saturated, we want to think the good, bad, and the ugly. Well, the good saturated are all the ones that come from natural whole foods. And the coconut oil, the palm oil, the butter, you know, McDonald's, for instance, they baked their famous French fries until 1980 in lard.
Right.
Now, lard from a grass-fed beef is beautiful. It's very healthy. But lard, of course, if I even say the word, you get kind of a flinch, bad, you know?
Well, you know, some of this was the result. Some of this was the result of a campaign that was undertaken by a crusader named Sokolov. I don't know if you remember that era when he persuaded the Center for Science and Public Interest to undertake a campaign against against using lard for fried foods in fast food eateries. So they got away from that, and instead they introduced yet another type of fat that you can speak to, which is the trans fats, the hydrogenated fats. So how are those different or similar to saturated fats?
They are, well, they originate from the omega-6s usually. So they, some of them are from the saturated, but they are basically, they come from damaged oils in a certain, I don't know if you've ever looked at mirror image. Okay, you look at yourself in the mirror. You are seeing a mirror image of yourself, and that's not actually what yourself is. Somebody else is looking at you. And molecules are like that, too. Chemically, there can be mirror images. So there are actually natural trans fats that are good, and they're in butter.
So, for CLA, for example, conjugated linoleic acid, which is a trans fat, and it's a dairy trans fat. So a lot of people think, oh, trans fats are extremely bad, and there's trans fats in dairy, so that must be bad, but they're actually good, paradoxically, right?
Yes, and it's the mirror image principle in chemistry, that what you're seeing is in the damaged ones that they're trying to put on labels to keep people away from that are very damaging to the body, oxidative stress and everything, is they are the mirror image of the one natural one that would be in butter.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful, even you kind of look under the hood on all these little terms, because there's more to it than just saturated or just trans fats. So basically, the principle is, stay away from damaged processed oils. And the way we damage them, not so much the saturated, but we damage saturated by hydrogenating, bubbling it through a hydrogenation process. So that's where you will see, I don't think you see it too much anymore because it's not very popular, but 10 years ago you would see a lot of ingredients saying hydrogenated safflower oil or hydrogenated vegetable oil or hydrogenated oil. Those oils were good fats turned into bad fats.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to be careful about hydrogenation. And one of the most used areas for that were shortenings. Like I remember Crisco shortenings.
Mm-hmm.
And home ec. And then also margarines. Because the margarines were being made from vegetable oil, which was liquid at room temperature, so it doesn't make a very good stick of butter, right?
Yep.
Or margarine. And so what they did is they hydrogenated it so it would be more solid at room temperature. And that just did the damage. And a wonderful mentor of mine, Jeff Bland, father of functional medicine, I love the term he developed called new to nature.
Mm-hmm.
And these are molecules that were never in a natural environment, and our body doesn't know how to quite recognize them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they enter the body, they can go off and do some biochemical damaging things. And that's what we're trying to clean people up. I know in my medical nutrition practice, I pay a lot of attention to the fats people eat because we've got to clean up their diet. And what is encouraging, I think, is that within 6 months, about 80% of your cells recycle.
Mm.
So whatever you're eating from now during the next 6 months, you will actually do an oil change.
Yes.
And maybe other changes too in your body. So I think everybody kind of needs an oil change.
Yeah.
And so if we can do that for people, you know, so many things start going right in their health. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what are some of the Trojan horses now in our food supply for these bad fats? You know, there's a lot of emphasis now, and I think my city, New York, has been a pioneer in calling out trans fats under the administration of our previous mayor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, call it a nanny state or what, but I think that was a good measure. And now more and more regulations are telling manufacturers not to include trans fats in foods or, you know, make old-fashioned margarines. People are getting away from that. But still, there are some ways that these bad fats sneak their way into our diet. So what are some of the things that people should look out for?
Well, I think the first one that is pretty obvious is eating out. And when you're eating in restaurants, there's still a lot of the damaged oil food processes that are used. Frying on a grill with canola oil or safflower oil, a vegetable oil that's been damaged, and then you're adding more heat to it. That is a big place where you won't see what they're doing, but you will be eating those damaged oils. Where would it else? I think just the processed foods that are bakery products.
Yeah.
They're doing
cookies and baked goods,
the hydrogenated, because they want that cookie not to crumble.
Right.
And so they want it to be at room temperature, a more solid fat. And so it's a lot cheaper to use the shortenings of many kinds, many brands out there. And so bakery products, eating out where things are fried. So one safe thing to do is when you eat out, either have it broiled or have it poached or something that's not fried. And that way you're not going to get the damaged oil so much. But also charbroiled, you have to be careful about, because it can actually turn those fats into a very bad, like trans fats and acrylamides and things like that, that are really going to run havoc on your biochemistry.
Incidentally, that's the subject of my next blog for our newsletter, which is Safe Grilling, you know, and issues related to, you know, PAHs and HCAs, you know, heterocyclic amines, and ages, advanced glycation end products, which are the byproduct of high temperature cooking. So, you know, it doesn't mean we have to give up grilling, but, you know, there are some safer ways to go about it.
Well, I was going
to
mention another thing that you can watch for when you're eating out is the dressings you're eating.
Yeah.
If you have a beautiful salad, you're doing a good job on all the veggies, and then they bring you a dressing, and if you don't know what's in that dressing, most likely it's going to be a damaged oil that's been a vegetable oil that's been processed.
Uh-huh.
And so shall we go to the next group?
The
monounsaturated?
Yeah, actually what we generally do is we divide these podcasts into two parts. So we've set the stage for a discussion of polyunsaturated and saturated fats.
And mono.
And we're going to talk about mono when we return with Diana Noland. She's a registered dietitian, but also master in public health and a master nutritionist with great experience, lots of teaching time in this field. And our job is to explain the complex world of fats to you so that you can be a more discerning consumer and work your way through some of these controversies. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.